The call came on a bleak January night in 1996, shortly after I returned to Milwaukee for my last semester of college. I was sitting at the desk in my bedroom, facing a mound of reading material for my 18-credit course load and a pile of resumes that I still needed to send out. Mom was on the line. She had taken my father to see the doctor about his forgetfulness, and the news was not good. He had Alzheimer's. I tightened my grip on the phone and stared at the bare white walls of my bedroom as I absorbed her words. My eyes fell on the Celtic cross that Dad had brought me from Ireland a few months earlier. I wanted to believe the promise it symbolized, to cling to the hope I heard in Dad's voice when he came on the line and told me, "Everything will work out." But as I hung up, I felt only numbness, then emptiness, and dread. Sitting there in the stillness, I tried to imagine what the coming years would bring. A long-buried memory suddenly sprang to mind. It was an image of me as a little girl, bundled in blankets and whispering prayers to Jesus before I fell asleep. Two petitions concerning Dad always made the list. I wanted him to live long enough to walk me down the aisle on my wedding day, and I wanted him to die of an illness that would give us time to say goodbye. Those requests may seem morbid for a girl whose father was the picture of vitality during her childhood, brimming with the energy of a man half his age and a passion for all things outdoors. Dad would burst into the house each weekday after work, toss his briefcase onto the table, and change his clothes in a flash. Then, he would round up my older brother Tom and me and take us for bike rides, basketball games, or backyard tutorials on our fastballs and soccer kicks. Dad was so young at heart that I never thought about his age until second grade, when a ponytailed soccer teammate asked me if the man cheering me from the sidelines was my grandfather. I had always known Dad was older than Mom. My parents often joked about their 11-year age gap. But until then, I had not pondered the novelty of having a father who was 45 years old the day I was born. Did Dad's age mean that he would not live to see me grow into an adult? That he would die some random weekday morning, without warning or even a hug to bid me farewell? I began to worry about heart attacks and strokes, to listen closely when I heard stories of men my father's age dropping dead in the middle of racquetball games and morning jogs. When my third-grade teacher launched a lesson plan on nicotine, I dutifully memorized each frightening fact and returned home to make daily presentations to Dad about the perils of pipe smoking. Impressed by my tenacity and guilt-ridden by my pleas, he soon quit. During adolescence, after my brother left for college on a football scholarship, and I found myself the sole focus of Dad's parental attention at home, my fears about losing him receded, and his age began to bother me for other reasons. Two alike for our own good, we bickered frequently, and our daily interactions were marked by irritation, most of it mine. Dad would shuttle me to school at a creeping pace, no matter how late I was, constantly experimenting with new routes in what was, I was sure, an attempt to drive me insane.